Hello, how is everyone? Can I just say I can't believe I have managed to get to episode 21 and obviously doing the majority of them on my own, and you said I was still listening, so thank you very much. I've said it before, I have dreamed about doing my own podcast for quite a few years, and obviously I had to concentrate on my therapy business and everything else, although I was looking into it and whatever else, never really had the time before. But I think if you want to do something and you're passionate about it, you just have to find the time, because there's never really a right time. Because regardless of what you're doing in your life just now, you're probably still going to do that in 5 years' time. So going to work, looking after kids, running the house, doing your shopping, doing whatever. And you just need to slot it in somewhere. And if you think, well, sometimes I may be watching the telly for a couple hours at night, maybe I could do it then. So yeah, anyway, that was a bit long-winded, but just to say thank you so much. And again, I've noticed more countries adding to the list of who's been listening. One of them being Singapore. Honestly baffles me, all these different people all over the world like listening to little old me. But again, thank you so much. I appreciate it more than any you'll ever believe. So, how has your last week been? What have you been up to? I was still ill up until maybe the weekend. Started to feel a wee bit normal again, so I got my antibiotic last week and it finally started working, and I've got a voice back and I've got a bit of energy back as well, which is good. We all like some energy. But apart from that, it's just been working, running about after the kids, and babysitting my mum. I was babysitting Helen on Thursday. I don't even know how to explain that one. Like, if any of us get older parents, like, I mean, she's not old, she's in her late 60s, and obviously she's been unwell and blah blah blah, but she really does play on. Like, yeah, I'm saying nothing because I'll get into trouble. But I never got home until like 8 o'clock at night, and I had asked my youngest in the morning if he wanted to come with me. And he's like, nah, that's not for me. You can do that one on your own. And then when I obviously came home 8 o'clock at night, and he's like, and you thought I was coming with you? And you're just home? So yeah, that was that. But the rest of the week's been pretty normal, if you want to put it like that. Like, work, kids, although the kids are grown up, you still run a bit after them, don't you? Doing the food shops, taking the mum to the shops, taking babysitting the mother, yeah, working, studying, because I've got something new coming to my therapy business. I don't know when. I've started a course, it's just a short course, because it's just a kind of add-on to some of the therapies I already do. I've been starting buying in all the tools that's needed for it, so we'll see, we'll maybe put a wee hint up at some point. But yeah, that's really all that's been happening with me. I kind of wanted to touch on, so this week I wasn't 100% sure what I was going to talk about, because I have been ill. Didn't actually finish my antibiotics until like Sunday, Monday. It's now Wednesday, and I was just a bit tired, still sleeping a lot and whatever else, so I hadn't really fully planned this week. I knew roughly what I wanted to talk about. But what I'm going to talk about, I'm maybe not going to full detail, and you'll understand as I go along. This topic I wanted to talk about a bit later down the line, but I'm going to briefly talk about it, if that makes sense. So rather than, obviously most of my podcasts last about an hour, and I think what I'm going to do is touch on this one and then come back to it in a couple of weeks again, and have it more planned out. But obviously we all know that sadly Liam Payne passed away last week, and my heart breaks for his full family, his child, his friends, and obviously Cheryl. I'm not going to specifically talk about him, but it's more what a lot of people have been saying afterwards. So you hear a lot of people saying things like, what do celebrities have to worry about? I mean, they've got everything they ever needed. They've got all the money in the world. They've got this, they've got that, they've got the next thing. Or you might hear people saying, but he looked happy. Every time I seen him, he was laughing. That might be the case, but just to remind everyone that mental health does not determine what's in your bank account. Or should I say, what's in your bank account doesn't determine your mental health, whether it be good, bad, ugly. The smile on your face most certainly does not determine where your mental health's at, whether, again, it be good, bad or ugly. People who do struggle and genuinely struggle, and you'll know if it's you or not. I mean, we hear a lot of people saying, oh, I feel depressed, or I'm having a bipolar moment, or my ADHD is through the roof. Now, these are terms that a lot of people use off the cuff. And I'm not saying everybody does, because there is very many people out there who do genuinely struggle with or have been diagnosed with ADHD, bipolar, depression, schizophrenia, like many, 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 many different sad mental health ailments. And for somebody to say off cuff, it then takes away the importance of it for people that genuinely do struggle, people that genuinely do have to take medication for these things, people that genuinely do have to go through therapy. It's not great. But because you've got people that do flippantly use these terms, it means that the people that genuinely do struggle with ADHD, bipolar, depression, anything at all to do with poor mental health, it then means that they don't feel as comfortable to open up. They then don't feel as if they can come and speak to anybody without being judged, without somebody saying, oh, there's somebody else who's saying they're this, there's somebody else that's saying they've got that, there's somebody else, in inverted commas, with bad mental health, poor mental health. We really, really, really need to come away from that mindset. But also, the people who are at their lowest will tend to be the people who have the biggest smile on their face. They may not be the most outgoing, they may not be the most forthcoming, they may be happy 1 minute, really low the next. And a lot of the putting a smile on your face is to protect themselves. They're protecting themselves from judgment, they're protecting themselves from ridicule, they're protecting themselves from whatever. But that does not mean that while they're smiling to your face, there's not a million and one conversations with themselves going through their head. There's not a million and one thoughts going through their head. They're not standing in front of you smiling and being, hi, how are you? And oh, it's really nice to see you. Oh, yeah, let's catch up. Yep, I'll give you a wee phone. Does not mean that while they're saying all that to you, they could still be planning doing something to themselves, whether it be self-harm or worse. And I know this firsthand. I am not just saying this because I've been taught it. I'm not just saying this because I've read it in a textbook or that a lecturer's told me it. I'm saying this because I was that person at one time. I was that person who, yeah, I'll go out a night out with you, no bother, and I was the life and soul of the party and whatever else. I was also 5 stone, 5.5 stone at my very lowest. I was also very suicidal. I was also very, 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 very depressed. I had many things that were affecting my life, affecting my mental health. And yeah, for all I talk about mental health every day, and I help people every day, try to help people every day, I also still have things that maybe go through my head at times, but I have learned how to, at the minute, overcome those thoughts. I have learned how to get rid of those thoughts as quick as they pop back into my head. If I feel low, I know I have to talk to somebody. If I feel myself reverting in, I know I have to speak to somebody. And whether it be I speak to one of my best friends, or whether it be I speak to a professional, I know I have to speak to somebody. Now, that's not saying that I will always be on that path, because I know how low that it can go and how low I can get, or anybody can get. I also know that there's times where I won't, potentially, won't want to speak to somebody as quick as it goes into my head. It may simmer away, it may fester in there, those thoughts may stay there for a while. And I've kind of came to terms with that, if you want to put it like that. But the positive is, at the minute, I know how to work through these things. And if it ever does come the time where I'm back to where I was previously, 20 years ago, less than 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, I will deal with that if it ever happens again. But at the minute, I know how to overcome it. But if you've not, if this is something new to you, you may not. You may be terrified. Now, when I first heard the news about that tragic accident, I was sick to my stomach. Mainly because, one, now, we none of us know the circumstances, so regardless of whether it was purely accident or somebody done this to him or he made that choice himself, regardless of that, he would have felt lonely in that moment. And yeah, he may have been drinking or taking drugs or whatever else. That's by the by. That is by the by. This person potentially had struggled with his mental health anyway. And I don't know him personally. I don't know his medical record. So I'm just using him as an example. Anybody in that moment, they will feel the loneliest they've ever felt in their life. They will feel as if there's nobody and nothing to live for. They will feel as if there is no way out. They will feel as if this will make life better for everybody else if they weren't there. They will also be terrified. They will be scared. And I felt every emotion that he potentially would have felt, or anybody in that moment would have felt. Now, I'm not just speaking about this because of it's happened to a celebrity. It was on my list to speak about. So anybody in that moment, you are terrified. You are lonely. And it's not a selfish decision. It's, in some instances, it's very brave, because you're taking away your full life and leaving all your loved ones behind and taking away your potential happy future. But you don't see a happy future in that moment. You just see darkness and a grey cloud. And that may sound cliche to some people. And I know, and I personally know people that think poor mental health doesn't exist. I personally know people who don't agree with people taking their own life. I know people that have got very many opinions about anything to do with mental health, and they think, just talk to somebody. Now, if it was that easy, there wouldn't be as many people struggling. We wouldn't be waking up every morning or every day looking at social media or looking at the papers or turning on the news or the radio and hearing that somebody else has gone missing or another poor soul's body has been found. So the whole point to me discussing this topic today especially is because there obviously is a lot of chatter just now on social media, and I just want you to take a step back and think before you speak, I suppose, before you comment. The next time you decide you think it's funny to comment on somebody's social media and say, oh my god, why are you wearing that, or why have they got their hair like that, why is the makeup like that, they're punching, talking about a partner that they're with, that they think that their partner's so much better looking. Looks don't deceive a person. You what's inside you deceives this. What's inside you shows the type of person that you are, portrays you as a good or a bad person, or indifferent. We need to have more empathy. We need to have more checking in with each other and not just, oh, hiya, and how are you in passing. If you don't hear from somebody and it's unusual, check in with them. If you notice that somebody's not going to work. And I've said this so many times on the podcast when I do talk about look out for changes in people. If you notice that somebody's not going to work and it's unusual because they're maybe normally, they've never had a day off or they're a workaholic or whatever you want to portray them as, anything out of the ordinary, check in with somebody. And it could be something so minute, but check in. And it may be they're absolutely fine, but I would rather check in with somebody and find out they're absolutely fine than not check in with them and find out weeks, days, months, whatever, down the line that they were struggling and they felt so lonely and they didn't feel as if anybody was there for them. But that's me personally, and I get everybody's got a busy life and you can't look out for everybody, but I am an empath and I do feel other people's pain for them. And I mean, my mum, some people think, oh, you're in the wrong job or whatever else, because you do feel that way. And we do joke, my mum says I've got no heart. I genuinely do have a heart. But I can still support somebody. I don't have to cry in front of somebody to cry behind closed doors because their story was very upsetting. I'm never going to show somebody that to their face because that's not going to be helpful to them. I have to be the supporter in my job, and that's exactly what I am for everybody. Not just in my job, but in my personal life as well. And any of my current or past, and potential future clients will all tell you that I don't just give you the time of day for that hour that you have booked me in for. My phone is on 24/7 for all my clients, and they can phone me, text me, get me on social media, WhatsApp me, whatever they want to do if they are struggling in that moment, because I will never leave somebody to feel as lonely as I know is when you are feeling suicidal or even just feeling depressed, or if you are having a bipolar moment, a true bipolar moment, or if you are struggling with your anxiety, or if you do have ADHD, or if you do have autism or schizophrenia, or any of the long list of mental health issues, I will always be there for everybody. So I kind of went off track a wee bit there, but when it comes to social media, can we just start being a bit nicer? Now, if you see something and you don't like it, why do you feel the need to comment and say you don't like it, or you don't like what somebody's wearing, or you don't like how they look, or you don't like that person, although you've probably never met them before in your life? Why not just scroll past? Like, that's taking out 30 seconds of your day, and that's only on one post. Like, how many other posts are you commenting on negative stuff? And then how do you feel if somebody does take their own life? And I'm not saying it's because of your comment, but that could be the one comment that's tipped them over the edge. Would you like it if it was happening to your family? Now, also, would you like it if it was happening to you if you had tens of thousands, or even just hundreds, or even just 50 or 10 or whatever, people saying the same thing to you over and over and over again? And yeah, some people might say, well, change. But why, if you're happy with the clothes you're wearing or the size you are or the person you are, why do you have to change because you've got people who are hiding behind a keyboard saying things that they maybe don't even mean? They're just saying it because they think it's funny, or they're just saying it because everybody else is saying it and they want to jump on the bandwagon. No, just let it be, as the Beatles would say. Stop all this online bullying. Stop all the trolling. I mean, it's not even just adults these are going for, or anybody that's doing this is going for. Now, obviously, I know the majority of anybody that's listening to this probably isn't doing what I'm mentioning, so I'm not aiming this at anybody in particular, obviously. But just in general, like, it's not even adults who, some people might argue, well, adults can defend themselves. I mean, it depends. You don't know what's going on in that person's life. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. What they've been through the years or months leading up to this. How their upbringing's been. You may have had a good upbringing. They may not. Again, one comment can top somebody over the edge. And when you're then going for disabled children, sick children, any children, you're also going for the parents. Why? Like, what? These people that you are online bullying, trolling, genuinely, what have they ever done to you? Personally, what have they ever done to you? Have they met you on the street and beat you up? Have they stole from you? Have they said anything about you or your kids or your family members? It's just a bit pathetic and it's very outdated, and I don't understand why in 2024 we've still got all this going on. And you might think, oh, she's sounding as if she's Little Miss Perfect and blah blah blah. I'm far from perfect, and I have a past, and yeah, I've got a past that there might be some things in my past where I'm not particularly happy about or not proud of, but there's very many things that I'm proud of, and I am very proud of the person that I'm just now. I am happy to be in the position I'm in just now, where I help others. I'm also there for family, friends. Everybody knows they can rely on me. Even if I've not spoke to somebody, sorry, for months or years, they will always know that they can chat my door, pick up the phone, anything at all. And I may lose touch with people, but there's usually a reason for it. But I will never see anybody feeling or going through any kind of bad experience without having somebody by their side to try and get them back out of that experience, try and get them back on the right path, or try and get them in a better frame of mind. And whether it be, I mean, obviously if it's friends or family, I clearly can't offer them any kind of counselling, but I can be there for them and I can point them in the right direction. I can listen. I just wouldn't be able to counsel them. But I don't have to counsel somebody to help. I can still be there, I can still be a supporter, I can still be the person that takes you to your therapy, I can still be the person that you pick the phone up at 2 in the morning when you think, oh, I don't know what to do with my life, I don't know, and in tears, or your partner's left you, or you've left them, or the kids are unwell and you don't know what to do, you've not got anybody to take you to a doctor's appointment or a hospital appointment. I'll be there as long as I can, as long as, obviously, I've not got anything that I'm having to do with my kids or whatever else. So yeah, there's different ways that you can help people, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that you're there 24/7. Just knowing that you're there and that you're on their side, you're on team, whatever, you'll be at the other end of the phone, or you'll pop round for a cup of tea, you'll help with the kiddos if they feel like everything's crumbling, everything's falling on their head. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so, so hard. And sometimes it may be that they might need somebody to take them for their food shop or point them in the right direction of how to get their food shop delivered. Because if you are in such a bad mental state, you may be struggling to step foot outside the door on your own. You may be able to go out with somebody by your side. They may not know how to do an online shop, especially if it's maybe somebody a wee bit older or somebody that's not really been round about the internet. Yeah, most of us have got phones. Not everybody's got laptops or worked on computers and things like that, so they've maybe never done that before, so they might need a wee bit of help with that. Help with the housework, point them in the right direction for a cleaner, watch the baby while they go for a shower, let them go for a nap, and you could maybe give the kids a lunch. Like, there's all these different things. Do you work with somebody who has really bad anxiety and they maybe take panic attacks when they're on the bus or the train, and you maybe be able to go on the same journey as them? Or if you maybe drive to work and you live near them, you could maybe offer them a lift. There's like all these different things, and it doesn't have to cost you money. It doesn't even have to take out any of your additional time in your day. But then, thinking yourself in that person's shoes or in that situation, who would you depend on? Who could you depend on? And can you depend on them? Because that's sometimes what you find out when you're going through your mental health struggle, is that the 1, 2, 5, 10 people that you thought you could depend on actually aren't always the most reliable. So some of the people that I thought would have been there for me or helped me through my journey were the ones that were the fastest to run away. The first ones to put you down. The first ones to mock you. The first ones to talk about you behind your back. So you do genuinely find out who's your closest network in these situations. And just a little word of advice to anybody that is going through it. If you find out that the person or people that you thought were going to be your biggest supporters, your closest network, your close-knit community, turn out not to be, don't add that to your extra stresses. Don't put that pressure on top of yourself. Instead of looking at who's not there, look at who is there. If you genuinely don't have anybody, have a look at sort of community groups on Facebook or sort of mental health groups on Facebook, and there may be people there that are thinking, well, I don't have any support network either, so we could team up, we could be there for each other. Almost like befriending each other. Do you know how, like, when you get this app, when people are older, especially, or if they've maybe got disabilities, and they maybe get you get all these different befriender charities. So something similar to that you could be looking into. Speak to your GP, ask where you could go for a bit of support. If you've got a therapist, a counsellor, psychiatrist, psychologist, anything like that, ask them if they've got any advice of where you could go. But never ever feel as if you're on your own, because there'll be many people in the same situation as you, and they'll be looking for the same as you, somebody to rely on. And that's all any of us ever want. That's all any of us ever hope for in our lives, is to have somebody who will be there no matter what. And like I said, certain situations in life will show you who is and who isn't. But then that's for you to make a choice as well, that don't allow them to make you feel a certain way. Move on from them. But also remember that situation when they need. Now, it could be that you don't want them to feel the way you felt, so you will be there for them. Or it could be the opposite. And it could be, well, you left me at my lowest, so I really don't have it in me to be there for you. And either decision is okay, as long as it's your decision and it's not a decision that somebody's forced on you. We also know that a lot of these decisions that people make might come from experience or lack of, or not known, or be scared. They might be scared in case they say the wrong thing to you. But you just have to try and find the right people. Be careful who you open up to, because you don't want to keep telling the same story over and over again for people to let you down, because that's another thing that can obviously affect your mental health. If you're telling people your sort of closest, your deepest, darkest worries, concerns, feelings, and then they're not there for you a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months down the line, you may overthink that, and please don't. That's not on you. It's not always on them either. They may be scared. They may genuinely be scared, but obviously we do know that there are some people that are just very me, 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 and if the topic, issue, night out, whatever, isn't about them, then they have no interest. If they think that you're not going to be there for every party or every night out, every weekend, then they'll go and find somebody that will. And it's not to say that just because you're struggling with your mental health that you won't be there, but they'll maybe get it into their head. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to touch on that briefly this week. I don't want to make this all about all very negative and saying that people are not there for each other or whatever else, because there is very many people out there that do have genuine hearts of gold, and I know a few. Don't know many, but I know a few. Like I said, I was let down very badly by the people that I would have thought, I would have bet every penny I had that these people would have been there for me. So I would have been very, very poor if that was the case. But yeah, social media, it can be a good thing. It can be a horrendous thing. I think the way I look at social media, especially now, and because I've obviously, I know that I can be triggered quite easily, I try and limit what sort of things I look at on social media. So I'll try and look at more positive pages or more talented pages, so like singers, dancers, comedians, positive quotes, all these sort of things. That's what I try and stick to on social media. And I try and tell this to people who do kind of fall down the rabbit hole of social media where it can be a bit dark. And I try and say, right, so if you want to stay on social media, you want to stay connected to the people that you've kind of already connected with on social media, then maybe this is what you need to do. And maybe you need to just kind of change your habits of what you're looking at. Start looking at more positive things. Start looking at upcoming talent or talent that's always been there. You could, because you find, I mean, the amount of amazing, talented singers I come across on social media, and I'm just like, whoa, why have we never heard of any of these people? Obviously not everybody can get a record deal, not everybody can be in the charts, but yeah, there is a lot of talent. I mean, there's a lot of funny kids, there's a lot of funny dogs and cats and whatever else. And I watched a video this morning of three cats fighting on a roof over a bird. It nearly knocked me sick, but at the same time it was hilarious because you had one cat holding on to the cat with the bird with the paw, and then another cat was holding on to the cat with the bird's head. And then I don't know what happened, but the cat still managed to keep that bird anyway. So yeah, change your viewing habits on social media. Maybe sometimes it's about changing the way you word things. Like, I use social media mainly for sort of business side of things, especially the likes of Facebook and Instagram. I'm very private on these, and most of it is to do with work on my private pages, because Meta, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you want to call them, they don't allow you to have a business page unless you've got a personal page. And if you shut your personal page, then from what I've been told, your business page gets closed as well. So I tend to just jump on there, have a quick scroll maybe in the mornings or at night when I'm in bed, and post things to do with my business on my business pages, and then share it to my personal pages. TikTok's a bit different, and X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, I have no clue about that. So I am, yeah, that one just baffles me. I don't know how. Obviously I know how to upload things, and I know how to post, tweet, whatever you want to call it. I just don't know how you get interaction on this one, Twitter, X. I don't know if it's to do with hashtag. I just don't know. I'm a dinosaur, I think, when it comes to the whole Twitter thing. So yeah, but no, I don't think this is going to be a long podcast. I just really wanted to come on. Like I said, I'm going to speak more on this topic in a few weeks. Potentially next week, I don't know. I don't know exactly when I'm going to talk about it, but I just wanted, because obviously we are hearing a lot of chatter of people saying, they had a chat, he or they, whoever it may have been, had a child, or they have children, or they've got a really good job, what have they got to worry about, or they've got money in the bank, they've got millions, or multi-millionaire, or they're due to get married, or it can be anything positive, and people think, well, you've got positive things happening in your life, how can you think negatively, or how can you do that, or how can this happen to you? But like I said, the exterior doesn't always define the interior of a person. And I think keeping that at the forefront of your mind, just remember what you're saying to people and how you're coming across. And I'm not talking about having jokes with people and banter and everything else. That's a completely different thing. And we all know that's a different mindset. And while I'm on that, people that do struggle with their mental health can still have a joke with you, and they can still have banter. It doesn't mean to say that they are, an inverted commas, fixed or cured, or they're not actually struggling. Some people struggle 24/7 and can still show fun and laughter, because they know that that's what you want to see. It's just a wee bit of food for thought. It's just upsetting when you see it so often these days, how many people do feel that that's the only way out, and they've got nowhere to go for help, or they don't think there's light at the end of the tunnel, or they may think they're going to get in trouble for something. Yeah, it's just upsetting. And it's upsetting for the people that are left behind. But and they may feel the pain that that person has felt. They may not. It may be a different pain, because we'll never know how that person was feeling leading up to those moments. And it could be something they decide in the spur of the moment. It may be something that's planned over a length of time. Again, we'll never know. But please just look out for each other. Just stop with the negativity. It's really all I can say. If you see something you don't like, scroll past it. If you see somebody you don't like, scroll past them. Don't add them to your social media just so that you can snoop. If somebody says something negative to a person and you think it's funny, don't react to it. Like, why do you have to jump on the bandwagon? Just move on from it. Just don't be negative. Start being nicer to each other. Because I'm sure the majority of the people that are saying all these things would never say it to the person's face. But yeah, I'm going to leave it at that, because I do kind of want to give more statistics and things like that the next time I talk about it. And I don't want to make, again, it all doom and gloom. So I kind of just wanted to say stop, I guess. Or think before you speak, as your mother may have said to you when you were younger. Just because you see something does not mean to say that you have to react. Does it mean that you have to copy? It doesn't mean that you have to be that type of person. You can choose to be a better person. Just choose to be a better person. We can all strive to be better, regardless of how good you are. We can all still be better. Every single one of us. Nobody can say, I'm as good as I'll ever get. We can all be better than the person we were the day before. So yeah. So let's move on from that. Anyway, what is everybody's plans for Halloween? I think I asked this one last week, did I? Maybe? I actually got my days mixed up last week. I told everybody that, I think I told you all that Halloween was on a Wednesday, and actually it's on a Thursday. And I only found that out because my neighbours asked me to take it to the doctor on the 29th, and I said, oh, that's... I must have said it was Monday. And then she got excited and thought she was getting paid on Friday, and then she looked up her calendar and she's like, ah, oh, you got that wrong. And I was like, whoopsie. So she doesn't actually get paid on Friday, so she's raging with me for getting excited. But no, we've been invited to a Christmas. I've not been invited to anything to do with Christmas yet. We've been invited to a Halloween party, but I'm not sure that we'll go, because my oldest son is back shift this week, so he works late, and my younger son doesn't really want to go places where he doesn't know people. And I'm going out on the Saturday night anyway for a psychic night thing somewhere. Don't really know the full details of it. I just know that I'm going. So, and I'm going to the cinema at some point at the weekend as well to see Venom with the boys. Although my oldest has said that he only wants to go and see if Andrew Garfield's in it, and apparently we won't find out until it actually comes out if he's in it. So I can't book the tickets. And like, can somebody just tell me who's going? Like, are we all going? Are we not all going? Are two is going? Are three is going? Tell me. I want to book these tickets before, because it's the first weekend it's out, which means it's going to be quite busy, I think, I presume, because Venom is a very popular film. And I'm absolutely gutted that it's the last Venom. I'm going to be sad. I said to my youngest that I'll probably cry, and he said, don't you dare. I'll probably cry because it's the last Venom. I absolutely love the Venom films, and I definitely love Tom Hardy. So yeah, that's my weekend planned. Actual Halloween night, we won't be doing anything either. We don't really get a lot of children at the door because it's quite quiet around here. The kids are either all kind of a bit older, or they're wee tiny tots and they just stick to their own street. So we don't have many children in the street, so I don't think we'll have many at the door. Although I say that, and what me and my mum, because my mum stays round the corner from me, what we've realised is we'll get 1 year where there'll be loads of children and you run out of like the sweets and the crisps and the everything else, and then the next year you'll be lucky if you get one or two and you're left with all this stuff. So then you think the next year, oh, do you know what, I won't buy as much in, and then you don't have enough because again you've got hordes of children coming. So whatever your children are doing, I hope they are safe and enjoy themselves. I've also started my Christmas shopping, which I'm kind of proud of. I'd rather be a bit further on with my Christmas shopping than what I am, but what I've realised is I finished my mum's Christmas from me and from both boys. I have finished my sister-in-law's niece. Well, I say I finished, I've still got to buy like the sweets or the selection boxes or whatever else in. Have I finished anybody else? I don't think so. I don't even think I've started anybody else, to be fair. But I finished day two. I started getting bits in for the boys. I've started getting bits in for Ainsley and her lot. But I don't know. I really don't know what I'm buying. And my youngest, he's 18 this year. And I'm like, can you at least give me a hint here? Like, I need to save because there's just me, myself and I. So I've got two boys to get for at Christmas and an 18th 4 days before. Bet you're all jealous. Bet you all wish you were me. Skint at Christmas. Always skint at Christmas. So I don't know what's going to happen. How that's going to work. What we're going to do. I mean, we won't be doing any parties or anything. He doesn't like, I just told you 2 minutes ago, he doesn't do the whole party thing. He doesn't like crowds. He doesn't like loud music. He doesn't like... He's got really high sensory issues. So we won't be doing any parties. I think we're going to the cinema for his birthday, but I can't remember what we're going to see. They'd tell me, but I can't remember what it is. But I don't think we'll... I doubt we'll go out for a meal. I'll presume he'll want to grab something and bring it home with him, or else grab something before we go to the cinema, depending what time we go. So yeah, that's really... But can you believe that it's only going to be how many? What, four... Less than 8 weeks to Christmas? Well, about 8 weeks, no. What are we on? Yeah, about 8 weeks until Christmas. I mean, that's dreadful behaviour. 9 weeks, something like that. It scares me. We always get to this time of year, don't we? And then we go into panic mode. All mums start going into panic mode because we're like, we've only got X amount of pays until Christmas. We've only got this. And then you start thinking, but that's not the only thing we've got to pay leading up to Christmas. Like, it's not a case of, well, we've got no bills to pay between now and Christmas, so we can just crack on with the Christmas shopping. You've also still got all your bills to pay. Then you've got that Christmas dinner to buy, which, because my mum's had a stroke this year, my oldest turned around to me the other day and he says, you do realise that you'll be left to make the Christmas dinner this year? And I said, do you think? I mean, it doesn't bother me. I've made Christmas dinner a few times, but just... either for me and the two boys, or me and my mum and the two boys. I was kind of thinking about just staying in me and the two boys this year, but my oldest is like, no, no, we'll go to my grand's. And I'm like, you sure? Are you sure? So I don't know. We'll see, because my youngest doesn't particularly like going anywhere that he's going to be out for a long time. So we'll wait and see what happens with that one. See if I can get out of we will see, I don't know. But I don't think I've got much else on. Going to the psychic night, so let's see if anything's said to me of interest. I don't know how this one's going to work, because I don't even know how many people are going to it. Or if you're actually getting a reading, or what's happening. I guess I'll play that one by ear. Because even the other person that I'm going with, I don't think they're 100% sure about how it's going to work. I don't know. Yeah, we'll find out. And twice today I have seen two magpies together. So I'm presuming I'm going to win a lottery tonight. I have told everybody so far that I'm going to win the lottery tonight. So, yeah. I mean, don't worry. If I do win a lottery, I'll still be here. I'll still be doing my podcast. I will still work. I've always said I'll still work. I think if I was to win the lottery, my first priority would be to buy a house. A bigger house, because this house, we've just kind of outgrew it. It's not even a house, my flat, we've outgrew it. but at the minute there's nothing available for what we need or in our budget. So what I've said is I'll buy a house and then I'll find premises for work, or I'll build premises on some land, something like that. Sort out everybody else, get them financially stable or houses or whatever they need. I mean, I'm saying this, I don't even know what the lottery is tonight. It could be 50,000 and I'm like, I'm going to buy a house. I'll buy a bit of grass and put a tent on it. As long as I've got a roof over my head, I don't care. So, yes, that's that. Next week, like I said, I don't know if I'll carry this one on next week or wait a few weeks. I'll let you know. Just let me know. What would yous want? Do yous want me to carry this topic on next week? Or would you rather wait? Obviously, I need to know before Wednesday because I need to plan it. And now that I'm fit and well and able, then I should be a bit more... what's the word I'm looking for? Here we go, brain fog. A bit more organised. I should hopefully be a bit more organised and have things planned. And normally I do have things planned by this Monday, Tuesday. But just the last few weeks I've not really been as planned because we all know I've been unwell for about 4 or 5 weeks. But yeah, that's that. But yeah, this is a short one tonight. I think a lot of people are still kind of numb as well, be hearing stuff. And I think, although you don't know the person, you do feel as if you know them to an extent because you've watched them growing up, you've watched them on TV. I mean, you may not actually get to see the real person because we all know that a lot of celebrities maybe put on a persona, which is absolutely fine because we're all entitled to privacy. We don't have to give our all or show all of us to people that we don't know. But yeah, just think of the people that are left behind. There's still a lot of hate being put out there about this person, but you've also got a lot of people that put out hate that are now like, oh, be kind, be kind. Please remember to be kind from now on and not just for 5 minutes. So yeah, I'm going to leave it at that because I'm going to end up on a rant. If you want me to carry this one on next week, let me know. Now obviously you can contact me through, what do you call it? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I have now set up a Twitter stroke X. I'm not done it yet. I've literally just set the page up. I've not put anything on it yet. Or you can email me at rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. Now, if you are struggling and you don't know where to go, you can again contact me the same ways I've just said. Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, or email rebootyourthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. Now, this isn't me saying that you have to book in with me. Just if you don't know where to go, you can ask me, who can I go to for help? Now, obviously, your GP is going to be your first port of call. Or your first choice. But if you don't want to go to your GP at the minute, there's many charities out there that you can look into. And again, the charity that you choose will depend on what your struggles are. So obviously, if it's to do with your mental health, there'll be mental health charities. If it's to do with grief, there's grief charities. If it's to do with domestic violence, there's domestic violence, domestic abuse charities out there. So there's different charities. So if you don't know where to go, please just message me. I will help you. But obviously remember that I do have my private therapy business and I do offer counselling and coaching amongst other things. So if you would like to book in, and it can be done face-to-face, video call or phone call, then again, just contact me through here and I will get back to you from... I'll give you a wee call with an arranger, initial phone consultation, which is free. And after the initial phone consultation, there's no obligation to book a full appointment. You can say, I don't think it's for me, if that's how you feel. Or if you want to book in, we can do that. Yeah, there's lots of help out there. Do not feel as if you're on your own. Even if you can't rely on friends or family, there's always somebody out there willing to listen. So don't struggle on your own, please, and speak up, speak to somebody. Just take 30 seconds to send a message or to pick up the phone and dial a number. I believe me, it will be worth it in the end, because you might think there's not any life at the end of the tunnel. I am living proof there is. I mean, I was at my worst. Like I said, I've been down to 5 stone with mind disorder. I've been suicidal to the point where everything was planned, whatever else. But I now have my own business, my own podcast. I can go and visit friends. I've got a small number of people that I'm close to, and that's all that I need. I've got my 2 boys who are happy and healthy, and again, that's all I need. And you can have exactly the same. You just need to put trust in one person to be there for you and to listen and help. So please do it. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. But enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy Halloween parties, if anybody's going to any Halloween parties this weekend. And I will be back next Wednesday. Speak soon. Bye-bye.